Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and this is episode 531 of the Bold and the Brave, Her podcast. Now, today I'm joined by a new kind of physician, a new kind of practice that you need to know about. And I'm so happy to have Dr. Chaya Makhija join me. She has such an amazing background. I just wanted you to know that people like her absolutely exist. Now, she's based in California. What is she? Well, she's triple boarded. So she has advanced training in diabetes research. She's an endocrinologist. She also has certifications in lifestyle medicine and plant-based nutrition. What the heck? An endocrinologist doing all of that? That's pretty crazy. Chaya, join me now.
Thank you.
On the Her podcast. So wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much.
All right. First of all, I'm loving the t-shirt. Okay. Less hassle, more health and wellness. Let's just, there she is, just like showing it off, like in a big way. One of the reasons why I was so fascinated with your practice, and I know that you had reached out to me about, you know, some new technology in the whole sector of people with low bone health, and that's the OsteoBoost medical device. I was really amazed by what you've accomplished with all these certifications. So what I would like to do is offer women out there in the Her podcast a little glimpse into what it's like to have a practice like this. What do you actually offer so that women know now that there are some other options out there for the practice of, as it were, midlife medicine, which I kind of like because I understand that you have both men and women in your practice. Did you think you'd have a practice like this when you first started out?
Ooh, thank you. Thank you for such an amazing question. No, I always envisioned that prevention would be a big part of whatever I practice, be it internal medicine to start with versus, you know, expanding it into the endocrinology field, which is diabetes, you know, everything about hormones and your machinery, that's your metabolism. But will I be able to do it myself? Is what I never envisioned. You know, you always think that as a human being, you're a social animal, and none of us cannot accomplish or live life just by ourselves. It is a unit. We work as a team. So I ended up working with a lot of team members, collaborating with, you know, corporate world, you know, private practice physicians. But how I started envisioning it by practicing what I knew. So as I was in traditional care, I realized that I don't like this. I want to give this person more time. I want to give more education. Can I help this person transform like in next 2 months rather than wait for a year? And that itself helped me envision that let's just fulfill this dream of me as a physician, as an endocrinologist. So it was the experiences which brought about the vision. It wasn't that, you know, I was in medical school and I had this whole picture of it. The picture was being a physician who can focus on prevention, but not what I am practicing today. So life's experiences brought me where I am today. And of course, it's still helping me to learn and grow.
Well, I just look at what your kind of practice can offer. I bet a lot of people out there don't really thoroughly understand what an endocrinologist actually does. But you also have your triple boarded. So you've got all this other bandwidth. So in your practice, you're also dealing with the GLP drugs for weight reduction. And I think that since this is really a hormonal play, as everyone now knows, I mean, Lord, you just pick up any newspaper or read any magazine online or however, it's all about the GLPs. Are you getting stormed with people who want to get on them?
Again, another great question. And, you know, the storm has been happening for every physician who's practicing now. But to bring that in perspective, and especially when you said that many people do not know what endocrinology is, so that's the only specialty, which is the specialty for study of hormones. And then, of course, we have urology for male genitals or main reproductive system. And then we have gynecology, which focuses on women's, but mostly estrogen, progesterone, and the ovarian axis of our health, or reproduction, and perimenopause, menopause. So endocrinology is able to connect all these fields and beyond. So it goes from the brain, which has a powerhouse. It goes from these neuroendocrine hormones, which are microscopic in terms of what effects they do, or so much magnified now with the media, and that's where GLP-1 comes, which is also a hormone. So endocrinology was the first field which brought about this into practice, so as in terms of prescriptions. So we were being stormed as endocrinologists even, you know, 15 years ago with the GLP-1, but now with more awareness, more knowledge, more physicians, more practitioners learning about it, and I feel like media stepping their game and bringing this in front of the audience, the people, the patients, is what brought in the demand, but misinformation at the same time. So yes,
I'm a lot of misinformation.
Getting bombarded with questions that what should I do versus what should I not do? And the third bombardment is, do you think it's right for me, or is it that I'm losing my willpower and that's why I'm seeking this medication? The questions and the plethora of questions are very much different, and the interest is different. So I feel the storm is definitely out there in regards to GLP-1, both in prescription, but also in terms of knowing more about it and what it will impact or what it will do to my body or my health.
I think that if somebody went into endocrinology like you, you totally lucked out, because there are so many people out there in great need of your guidance. So right off the bat, if I was like a primary care physician out there and I had somebody who had really, really tough type 2 diabetes, which is everywhere since obesity is so ubiquitous, you know, I would most definitely refer them to you to be able to guide that whole process. But one of the things that your kind of practice brings up, because it offers longevity, lifestyle practices, preventive medicine, diabetes and blood sugar control, weight control, and obviously the usual hormonal issues as they relate to thyroid and, you know, all the rest of it. What I see is, I think the word now that everyone is using is a multimodal approach to people's longevity. So when they come in to your practice and they say, you know, I'm kind of a mess right now and I need you to help me out, what are the things that you're looking at as a goal to achieve is to be able to establish an ecosystem of a lifestyle that's actually going to be able to support all the things, the technical things that you're going to be recommending one way or the other. Does that kind of describe it accurately?
Yeah, very much so. And you summarized all the topics. I would also add the bone health, because it's, you know, when we define it, it's also inclusive of osteopenia, osteoporosis. So that's the specialty that endocrinologists are able to gather or during their fellowship and train for it, as well as, you know, calcium and vitamin D disorders. So a lot of mineral metabolic pathways that are being trained for, but they're all interrelated. And when you connect all these dots, either you go see 5 different specialists versus can someone just bring this together and help me address it? Because every organ has a story and they're all interconnected. And there's always a crosstalk between all these elements, minerals, as well as hormones.
It's like you're a hub. You know, you're a hub that brings everything together.
Right.
And to me, I find that incredibly attractive. I want one appointment with someone who knows me well and someone who could establish a customized, individualized program and strategy, quite frankly, I was looking on your website, the Unified Endocrine website, and I saw the interview with a male who had pretty rough type 2 diabetes with a hemoglobin A1C of 14. And within 6 months, he halved that down to 7. And I'm sure he's continuously chipping away at that. And he looks as though he's got, you know, a weight that looks pretty good. And I know he's probably working on that as well. But isn't it, I think most people today are really trying to find, when they're thinking about their own health, well-being, and wellness, one hub, some place where you could really take care of the mass majority of things. Obviously, you need to have other subspecialties like orthopedics and such, oncology. And yeah, we stay away from that. But what you do is your practice can integrate whatever's going on with the orthopedist or the oncologist or however, because you have a really solid foundation to be able to pivot if something happens, which of course it's going to, in people's lives. So when you look at bone, for instance, you know what happens? Here comes a woman who's, you know, say she's just coursing through menopause right now, and she's horrified to find out her DEXA scan, her bone scan, is starting to really decline. I mean, it's not looking great, and she's already developing some level of lower bone density, and that's what one of the things you see, those good old T-scores, et cetera, on your DEXA, and she wants to understand. Like, how do you approach this? How can you help me maintain strong bones? And, you know, maybe she's got a little family history of osteoporosis, and we'll throw that in there. She's fractured a couple times, you know, in the last 15 years, stuff that's fairly straightforward, nothing horrific. But she's sitting there saying, well, wait a minute. You know, I'm afraid now. Help me understand. So what would you do with a woman who, you know, comes in, let's just say now she's about 54, right? And so she's had that DEXA and she's got the wake-up call and she's looking to you to help her understand how she's going to optimize her health and wellness. What would you do? Take us through some steps so we understand what a practice like yours can offer.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is such a common theme, and I'm glad you're touching this aspect and this type of a storyline because many women will connect to it. So one thing is the woman who just got her bone density scan, kudos to whichever healthcare professional ordered it, because most of her guidelines still look at getting a screening bone density scan at age 65 or after that, or earlier if there are risk factors. So the audience or the viewers, the listeners, you know, you have a right to get a bone density scan if you're heading into that perimenopause, menopause, and you have any risk factors that Dr. Peake talked about, or we have a whole list of these risk factors that helps you identify when can I get the bone density scan. So getting that bone density scan at the right time was a great thing, a great step. The second thing is if your bone density is either normal or it's osteopenic, and you're either in the perimenopause or just early menopausal age group, think about what options do I have in terms of preventing it further. So I wouldn't start searching on, okay, I need to be on this lifelong treatment, because many times everyone thinks that, oh my gosh, I have low bone density, I'm going to get stuck with it, and the fear that you just talked about fractures, right? So we have two important aspects, and then I'll jump onto several lifestyle interventions, which have been proven, and we can also touch base on OsteoBoost. So number one is I am in this age group, I'm 54. You want to be aware that hormone replacement therapy or menopause hormone therapy, estrogen, progesterone, or estrogen by itself, if you don't have a uterus, is FDA approved for the longest time to prevent osteopenia or to prevent osteoporosis from osteopenia, right? So be aware of that. So it's not that, oh, I don't have hot flashes or my energy is otherwise pretty good. You would be a great candidate. I'm not saying candidate for experimentation, but to help improve your bone density. And that's a lot to do on your lumbar spine, so your vertebrae.
That's actually a guideline now that the North American Menopause Society is now promoting, and that is estrogen therapy. You wear it as a patch or, you know, however you're going to play it. But because it's so profoundly excellent at bone building, you could actually have your DEXA turn the opposite direction so it becomes more positive if you're not on estrogen therapy. And if you are an appropriate candidate for estrogen therapy, clearly if you have breast cancer or some other issues, that mostly precludes that. But this is something you have to deal with, you know, with your physician. But all right, so now you're looking at what we now call menopausal hormonal therapy, estrogen being the big bone builder. What else are you looking at?
Sure. So this is, you know, from prevention of osteoporosis, that's worsening of your bone density. The second aspect is, do I need to look at other interventions, right, which are FDA approved, or are there lifestyle strategies which might help me? So before I dive into that, you know, risk factors are, you know, a few things that you commented about. We make handouts. I make handouts with my medical students, just elaborating on the number of risk factors and evaluation that you should be undergoing. So your blood test, which includes, you know, is my thyroid okay? Is my parathyroid and calcium okay? Is my vitamin D level at a goal for optimal bone health? Do I have any other disorders? And that could be multiple others, which are common, that can impact my bone density. Am I on any medications, even over-the-counter antacids, something called as proton pump inhibitors? Am I taking it for a prolonged period? And is that affecting my bone density or my calcium absorption?
And some people are on prednisone for a long time.
Yes.
And that's another real bad boy in terms of resorption in your bones.
Exactly.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and that leads to steroid-induced bone loss. So, you know, definitely looking at this whole perspective of your medical history, as well as, you know, alcohol, smoking, where are we at in terms of that assessment? And then, you know, identifying any medication supplements that may help versus may just worsen or contribute to the worsening of the bone density.
One of the things that I'm thinking about is also a lot of the current statistics show that women are picking up their alcohol intake after the age of 50, a lot of them. And alcohol is just not a great thing for bone health, to say the least, and smoking just across the board. If you're still smoking out there, I'll come out and I'll break your fingers because that's just ridiculous. But smoking and alcohol sometimes blown off like, you know, I have a couple glasses of wine a night. Yeah, well, you're also 58 and, you know, you're going to have worsening bone density. So just chalk that one up. This is why these questions that you're asking, Chaya, are so terribly important when people come in. Sometimes physicians are not particularly, not endocrinologists, but, you know, primary care, they're kind of whizzing through the exam. A lot of these questions aren't asked.
Yes, you know, just to make their lives simpler, like especially for primary care physicians, that's where we, you know, distribute the handouts. I can give the link, but it basically outlines, rather than going to other resources, summarizing as to what can I do for my patient if I learn about a low bone density now so that they are not getting an endocrinology referral by the time they're in that osteoporotic T-score range, right? So prevention. You know, one important aspect that I wanted to connect in the risk factors is we talked about GLP-1 and we're talking about bone density. That's very, very crucial to remember that if a woman, I'm talking focusing on women right now, if you're losing weight rapidly, for any reason, it could be a gastric bypass surgery, it could be a metabolic surgery for weight loss, it could be GLP-1, it could be also intentional. At this, you know, perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopausal age group, or even an eating disorder leading to weight loss, rapid weight loss, it is bound to happen that you will lose bone. So, you know, just based on literature, we have around 10 to 15 pounds in a very rapid, like say 1 week, 2 weeks, where you're having this rapid weight loss, you end up losing muscle. And the long term, the problem or the reflection is on your bone density, where you'll see your bone loss. I see this very commonly in individuals using compounded GLP-1 or even prescription GLP-1 without knowing that what are the other consequences of weight loss. So there is a reduction in your morbidities, like, you know, your BMI improves, your prediabetes will get better or you're reversed, your type 2 diabetes may get better, or you may go into remission, blood pressure may get better, cholesterol may get better, you might treat your mild sleep apnea with using these medications. But if you're not aware of the lifestyle interventions, that is focusing on your muscle building, which will help with your bone health rather than worsening the bone health, you know, that's where weight loss will become a major risk factor for bone loss. So that's why, you know, we haven't even touched base on the comprehensive aspect of it.
I just think that that's fascinating. And when we come back, I want to keep diving into this whole issue of bone and weight loss. The Her Podcast is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, all rooted in nature. In addition to women's multivitamins, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, is presenting the new Her Life Stages products, providing support for the menstrual years, including PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, and even libido. This integrative holistic approach has a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. To learn more about Her Life Stages, you've got options. You can run on over to your local health food store or check it out at Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or scroll over to Solaray.com and use promo code HER20 for 20% off your purchase. Women, Solaray's got your back. And we're back. All right. So you got me at bone and weight loss. When people are on the GLPs, people know this is Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro, and it goes on. When they're on this, I remember when the first FDA trials came through, they weren't looking at body composition at all. The primary outcome was weight reduction. But then it was like, they figured out, typically, if you're going to drop some weight out there, and let's just say I have an extra 50 pounds on board, and I say, okay, well, I'm going to do this only with excellent nutrition and exercise. And so here I am 50 pounds later, all the 50 pounds is gone. I'm all happy. 25% of that should have been muscle reduction, which makes sense because I don't need muscle to hoist around the 50 pounds I just unburdened myself with. So that makes sense. But the GLPs were very interesting in the sense that they discovered that many of these were resulting in 40% or more muscle loss, which is not good. You need to, muscle is that engine, that calorie burning engine, and you don't want to be losing that, for crying out loud. So what do you tell people as they're approaching all of this? Because I can only imagine, I'll put money on it, that a majority of the people that you see are overweight or obese.
Yes, you know, it's also reflecting the statistics that we have in the United States and, you know, something similar in California. This one is a very, very interesting, and I feel like it'll help us debunk some myths also. So the muscle loss for anyone who is intentionally or losing weight or with the help of medications, you rightfully said that we don't need the same amount of muscle because we will lose some, but we should also be looking at it as that, am I building lean body mass, which is mainly your muscle and your bone? So by the time, even if you've lost 50 pounds, even with GLP-1 or without GLP-1, that is just with lifestyle, you want to make sure that if you're doing your body composition, am I more muscle versus am I more fat? Right? So your percentage of muscle, say if you were 40% or 55% muscle here based on that weight, were you similar or were you not? comparing apples to apples will not be easier, but comparing percentage of your lean body mass from this 5 years ago or 6 months ago versus what am I at is going to be very important to understand. You know, I do body compositions day in and day out for these patients. And it's all.
And thank you for doing that, because I'm a body composition nutcase. In the first edition of the Lifestyle Medicine textbook, I actually wrote the chapter on From Womb to Tomb on the body composition in women. I don't understand what anyone gets out of doing a total body weight. You know, if you're extremely obese, obviously there's that number and things are just really rough up there in this super obese. But as you're trying to become healthier, what you want to see is a preservation of as much lean body mass as humanly possible. And that takes doing the appropriate physical activity, feeding yourself enough protein, and taking this gradually so that your body can adapt to this over time. The body has a rotten habit of really being unhappy when you try to do anything too rapidly. And this is something also we see in gastric bypass and in bariatric surgery per se, because you have rapid weight loss in many of these people. It's just difficult to kind of keep up with the body composition thing. But with the GLPs, it's less rapid. I mean, it's very good, but it's certainly nothing like bariatric surgery.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can titrate it. You know, that patient-physician shared decision-making is start slow, go slow. I'm not talking about waiting for years to step up on the dose, but also buying that time to change your lifestyle habits, to ensure that you're becoming more body aware, to ensure that you might have to tweak, like you just mentioned, about what's my protein intake now? What's my fiber intake to prevent constipation? And how am I dedicating my time in physical activity? I may need some upper body. Sometimes I have to just focus on core for them because their visceral fat is not budging. Sometimes for females, it's very challenging for them to build upper body lean mass or the muscle. So then you have to focus for the next 1 month. Let's just focus here so that we are more uniformly distributed, even with lean body mass. You know, what I love about muscle, you know, you focused on, you know, it's a major metabolic organ. It's one of the most useful organs for your longevity, to prevent falls, to improve your bone health if the muscle health is better. But we, you know, we can't ignore the fact that our insulin sensitivity, that is, you can utilize your glucose as your main fuel the best if you have great muscle engine. And that itself is a superpower for my patients when I help them, you know, either trying to reverse a type 2 diabetes or even these metabolic conditions. So you'll never go wrong in aiming or adding this as your goal, be it for by the end of the year or even for 2026. Like, how can I improve my muscle mass? And it takes time. You know, don't think that it'll just happen in a few weeks or a month, but put in that consistency and you'll see magnificent results with longevity.
One of the things that's a big challenge for you, I can imagine, Chaya, is that since you're looking at midlife, I'm assuming this is kind of like 50-ish, plus or minus, that you're butting up against aging itself. Whether you're the most healthy person on the planet or whatever the issue is, you're still aging. So you've got certain purely age-related issues that are going to happen, whether you're an Olympian or whatever. And the first one, obviously, that, you know, is coming to mind is the loss of some lean body mass, which is age-related, in the seventh decade of life during your 60s. I don't care who you are, how much you exercise or whatever the issue is, you will drop some lean body mass. That's just very, very age related. It's not like there's a fault involved or whatever. The issue is, have you banked enough muscle so that when you do drop a little bit of that lean body mass, it's not going to really be consequential in a big way, unless you're an athlete. If you're an athlete, then it's a very different thing. I'm a senior Olympic athlete. And I can tell you right now, my recovery time is much longer. I have to respect that. your overall times in the particular sport you're in will change, you know, in your 60s versus your 50s or your 40s. And I'm sorry, but here it comes. You're aging, and this is what happens when you age. So, you know, another beautiful challenge for someone like you, and you're, like I said, triple boarded, so you obviously are well equipped to handle this, is to, you know, kind of parse some of the aging related to what's going on with that person. And then also, in this case, a woman. So a woman is aging. She's going through menopause, and there's postmenopause, and she's aging at the same time. And she may have all, you know, a bunch of other things going on, including overweight, obesity, type 2 diabetes, etc. It's a lot. Which brings me back, you know, full circle to my ranting and raving about the fact that we need more professionals like yourself, Chaya, who have just a bundle of skills and expertise to be able to sit down and say, let me begin to put some of this together. What you said was so true. In the past, you went here for this, you know, problem, over here for this problem, people running all, no wonder they didn't keep up with their medical follow-ups and everything. It's just too much. But if you can go to one hub, that's great. And this is why when any of you out there in the Her Podcast land are seeking a health and wellness expert as a clinician who can be your hub to be able to aggregate a lot of this and make sense of it for you, do your homework. Do your homework. Run on over to unifiedendocrinecare.com. Unifiedendocrinecare.com. Look at that website. I was kind of blown away because it's got everything and it's being offered by a credentialed, board certified professional. That's the goal. There's a lot of weirdness going on out there. So you go to Dr. TikTok or Dr. Google and you meet some very strange characters. You want people who are board certified, who have a knowledge base in prevention and lifestyle medicine, so that you can now finally have someone who gets it with you, who just gets it. It's like, okay, I'm going to go where you are. And I know you have 13 problems. Let's just take each and figure out what the strategy is going to be and see how much they overlap in terms of the strategy. And you're going to find that, you know, someone like Chaya is an expert at doing something like this. So I'm increasing your expectations out there in the Her Podcast land so that you understand, you know, how important this is. You talk about supplements as well, right? You were mentioning calcium, vitamin D, others. What else? What other kind of supplements?
So for bone health, to be very specific. For everything, right? One thing is that, you know, we don't buy health from multivitamins or, you know, any elements just by taking them and without doing much with our lifestyle or our habits or our choices. But there are certain elements or certain supplements which will be very, very beneficial to treat a deficiency. Certain will support, and there is good evidence. And some, there is just no idea. You might be taking, but, you know, expecting something more like a placebo effect. So I'll just go over like the first two categories. Vitamin D, most of us either don't get enough sunlight or, you know, someone like me who is a darker skin, we don't absorb as much. Or if you're exposed to the sunlight, you know, it's barely the face, not the extremities or the larger surfaces. You know, and at UNMC or in Omaha, Nebraska, when I was at the university, I actually did a human clinical trial on patients who had small bowel disease. And we actually bought these UV machines to expose their backs. And these are long-standing vitamin D deficient individuals. And their vitamin D eventually went up, but it was, you know, they had to practice it a couple of times a week in terms of that exposure. So, you know, many individuals are concerned about the skin malignancies related to sun exposure. So simplest is go for a vitamin D supplement. First, check it. because all of us need a very different doses. Your guidelines may suggest, I'm talking about, you know, American for the bones for osteoporosis, and then we have the IOM or the International Institute of Medicine. They'll range between 800 to 1,000 IUs. But I see in real world, we need more. And usually for bone health, a good goal is between 40 to 60.
Yes, that's exactly correct. I'm amazed at the number of people who've never had their bone, their vitamin D level done.
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about bone health, for instance, everyone rants and raves about calcium, but hello, vitamin D3. So I'm a crazy person about making sure that you get that blood test and you walk up to your provider, whomever it is, and say, I absolutely have to have this. I am a woman and I need to know what this is to be able to protect my bones, because the vitamin D is going to help the absorption of my calcium. And so you've got to make certain that I'm okay. So, you know, the sweet spot is probably around 50 nanograms per milliliter when you get your little lab test thing back. But you got to make sure that you're taking enough. I found out myself, you know, here I am a triathlete. I'm thinking, okay, you know, I get plenty of sun. Oh, well, so much for that problem. Because almost 15 years ago, or even longer, out of the blue, I just decided to get my very first vitamin D level, because it wasn't cool then. Nobody was measuring, whatever. But I read a study where vitamin D levels in women were being looked at for risk of ovarian cancer. That's always a bad boy, you know, in my mind. So I'm like, you know, let's just check this out. The women who had the vitamin D levels closer to 50-ish had the lowest prevalence of ovarian cancer. It was the women who had, you know, like 20 or, you know, less or whatever, who are having the issues. Now, obviously, we're not looking at causality here, but there is an association. And I ran immediately, stuck my arm out there, and I said, what's my number? And I was shocked because my number was only 17. I almost fell off my chair. I said, are you sure you read the damn? So as it turns out, I had some genetic testing done. I have a polymorphism on my receptor. Go figure. So it took me, what was it? Oh my goodness, 60,000 units per week for 6 months to bring me up. And I have to take close to 10,000 units a day to be able to maintain a normal level. Now, I didn't, who knew? You got to get the blood test, people, and it's important. Now, why is vitamin D so important? Is it just about bone? No, it's extremely powerful as an anti-neoplastic as well, which is why the ovarian cancer thing has a fancy way of saying it really helps you prevent cancer. It's a very strong immune booster. I'm keeping this in really general terms, but it's a vital vitamin. And we need to keep those levels appropriate. So that's why this is so important. And then we got calcium too. You know, for a while there was a little, how shall we say, controversy about calcium and heart disease. And it turns out those original studies were terrible. There might be the teeniest, tiniest relationship between calcium and heart disease, but we consider it mostly a joke. And so we really want to make certain that you're getting enough calcium as well. And there's some really great calcium sources out there. It's not just the same old rock that we've always had. Do you ever use marine calcium?
I do. I personally take it too. Yes.
Me too.
The algae calcium. Yes, absolutely. I feel they're just more tolerable too, in terms of, you know, the intake, how the capsules are made. And, you know, I do combine that with the dietary sources. The good thing about calcium is we don't have to rely on that 1,200 milligram just on pills or over-the-counter supplements, but balance it with your nutrition. Yes. So you do the marine algae too?
Gosh, absolutely. And I use the one from Solaray, and that's the Bone Complete, because they have so much, all kinds of great things in it. You know, the magnesium. Oh my gosh, I just love it. And collagen as well. I know the collagen is kind of plus minus in terms of like, well, is it 1,000% accurate? You know something? I'm kind of erring on the side of trying to be, as the label says, as complete as possible, because I want to be able to help facilitate, you know, optimal bone health in a big way. And quite frankly, also multivitamins for women out there. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people say, well, get it from your eating and all the rest of it. And, you know, between you and me, Chaya, as physicians, you know, and I know that the mass majority of people out there are just, you know, they skip a breakfast, they don't eat enough for dinner, or they have some trash for lunch, or they're more chaotic in terms of eating. And so I like to fill in gaps as best I can. So I err on the side of trying to just be realistic about how people actually eat out there, because what they say and what they do may be two very different things, you know, in a big way. So going back again, you know, to your practice, so I love the fact that you're emphasizing getting to the bone earlier, right? Earlier than later. Medicare doesn't pay for DEXA scans till you're 65. And by that time, most people will have some level of osteoporosis. You know it, and I know it. So I love the fact that you're more preventative. So what do you offer someone who is osteopenic, someone who has lower bone density, but they don't have osteoporosis?
Yes. So we touched base on coming back to our original patient, right? Like the story. So if that person is a woman, then can we think about the menopause hormone therapy, not for menopausal symptoms, but for your bones? And if there is a green signal, we go for it. And then comes the evaluation that we talked about. And now with our lifestyle interventions, muscle, focus on that. And then your nutrition for your calcium, vitamin D, magnesium. You know, some of the individuals might benefit from a teeny amount of zinc, but I don't really rely on the supplement as much as possible. Go for your nutrition. The others are also in terms of, you know, there is vibration therapy studied, but I wanted to touch base on the FDA-approved device, which I've been talking a lot to my patients in these postmenopausal women who have osteopenia and want to prevent, right? And we want to do the same thing, is the FDA-approved device OsteoBoost. Now, the reason I got to know about this last year was because it was studied at the same university I had my fellowship from, and I personally use it. So I'm 45, and I've done my bone density scans a couple of times, and it does show lower Z-scores. So I am premenopausal, so I have to look at my Z-scores. And that was my sole purpose, to try it on myself, but also get an experience so then I can talk about pros and cons, if there are any, for my patients. So vibration therapy has been studied for a long time. It's not something new, but this was more of a dedicated study with a dedicated amplitude, frequency, the time of use.
And it's smaller. It's a belt.
Very light.
That's targeted, and you wear it so that the small kind of like little engine of the device is right above your little butt crack. So we call it the sacrum. That's the part of the bone. And then it delivers 30 to 40 hertz of vibration. And it feels, quite frankly, I wear it every day, a little massage almost. It feels really great. And I do it while I'm walking my beloved German Shepherd or kicking around doing my thing. I even wear it when I'm on my elliptical in the gym. It's a wonderful natural rhythm. It matches your natural rhythm because, quite frankly, when you're walking, when you're doing physical activity, you're vibrating. Most people don't know that. It makes sense. You ever get that feeling like when you stomp, you kind of go woo like that? Well, you're vibrating, and that's normal. And that's wonderful because when you do that, you stimulate those bone-building cells in your bone, the osteoblasts, and so that they can really, you know, build up strong bone and basically, quite frankly, help mitigate the loss of bone, which is also age-related. So I love the fact that we've got calcium, we have vitamin D, we have lifestyle habits, like getting up and being much more physically active, doing your strength training, eating appropriately. So you got a calcium and vitamin D rich kind of dietary intake, including zinc and everything else that you mentioned. And you've got this wonderful OsteoBoost, which is a class 2 FDA cleared medical device that just came out, is really become the thing. So I'm glad that you're having a good time with it as a practitioner, because then you could speak to it. And look at your DEXA, you know, a year after starting the OsteoBoost, and see what kind of changes. For instance, what if it was exactly the same DEXA? That's so cool. That means you didn't drop, you know, exactly, the usual 3%.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, women don't realize how much they're dropping. It's like 3% a year or more of their bone mineral density. Whoa, that's not the world's greatest. That's terrible. So we want to be able to mitigate that as much as possible. So putting together this multimodal, comprehensive, more holistic program is really where it's at. Chaya, I just have to say, I'm so happy that there are practitioners like you out there. It makes me feel just wonderful. I just wish you could clone yourself so that you could be available in every city where women are really looking to be able to find someone who could sit down, take the time, individualize, and follow them carefully over time as they're trying to optimize their health and wellness. So kudos to you and your wonderful team over there at Unified Endocrine Care. I just think it's awesome. And everyone out there, look for someone like her. Just look at the website, like I said, and try to duplicate it where you live, because these practitioners are now popping up everywhere, and we should be happy about that, because this is to our benefit, to say the least. So thank you so much for sharing, Chaya, what goes on in your practice and your thoughts about how you put it all together.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was very heartwarming. You know, you mentioned about the cloning aspect of it. And I see, you know, physicians as yourself, you know, coming out, doing these podcasts and giving that valuable information. Knowledge is what's very, very helpful to our both men and women. And that's my mission as well. So on YouTube, I've just recently started my podcast, which is Hormones and Hope, so that we can at least spread that knowledge in terms of prevention for both men's and women's health.
Well, you know something, Chaya? It takes a village. And I'm glad to be part of this wonderful team of physicians all across the country who have the appropriate letters after their name, have done the work, are credible, and are trying to get this message out there so that people like the wonderful Her Podcast audience can really take full advantage of it. So everyone, we have been talking to Dr. Chaya Makhija, and please run on over to unifiedendocrinecare.com just to kind of see what a dream world looks like when you're looking for a physician who could really help you put everything together, a great strategy for life. And at the same time, I want to thank my sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, Minerals, and Herbs, rooted in nature, and their new Her Life Stages products. Scope those out at solaray.com, in addition to the Bone Complete that we mentioned to you before. And now take a moment to leave us a review, because we love to hear from you. And just know that this has been a production of Podcast Health. And remember, your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day. Thanks for listening, everyone.